Well, the last 3 weeks, we were in chapter 18 of the Gospel of John, and there's a lot of moving parts in chapter 18. So I want to give a quick summary of the events in chapter 18 that lead us up to chapter 19, where we'll be in our text today. So if you remember, chapter 18 began with Judas betraying Jesus and Jesus' arrest. And then Jesus was led to Annas, the former high priest, for questioning. And it was during this time that Peter denied the Lord three times. After the questioning by Annas, Jesus was led to Caiaphas, the official high priest at that time. And then after being questioned by Caiaphas, Jesus was taken to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate told the Jews to take Jesus away and to judge him by their own law. But the Jews said it's not lawful for them to put Jesus to death, which is the sentence that they wanted Pilate to hand to Jesus. So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus told Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. And he told them that he was born into this world to testify to the truth, to which Pilate said, "What is truth?" Then Pilate went back to the Jews to report that Jesus was innocent. And yet, in spite of Jesus' innocence, Pilate said to the Jews, "You have a custom where I release a prisoner to you at each Passover." Then chapter 18 ends very, very sadly, with the Jews wanting Barabbas, an insurrectionist, a robber, a murderer, to be released instead of Jesus being released. Now we pick up with John chapter 19. So would you please stand for the reading of God's word, John 19, verses 1 through 15. And this is a bit lengthy. Verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus went out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it's been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, in an Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." You may be seated. In our verses today, Jesus is referred to as a king multiple times, either directly or indirectly. And in our text today, Jesus' innocence is referred to multiple times, either directly or indirectly. These verses are also saturated with the Jews' fear of man, and the Jews' fear of losing something, and Pilate's fear of man, and Pilate's fear of losing something, and in contrast to the Jews' fear and Pilate's fear Jesus does not fear any man, and Jesus does not fear losing anything, including his life. Our Bible passage is saturated and dripping with the fear of man and the fear of losing things. And our text is completely absent of the fear of God by Pilate and the Jews. You see, where there is fear of man and or fear of losing something, and those often go together, there is no fear of God. Fear leads to so many different types of sin in our lives and so much failure to glorify God in our lives. In our text today, we see that fear leads to lying and anxiety and hypocrisy and foolishness and manipulation, deception, anger, hatred, injustice, horrible abusive treatment of others, condemning the innocent, murder, rejecting all that is true, and rejecting the one true King of the universe. We're going to see the Jewish religious leaders, the Jewish crowds, Pilate and others behold their fear of man and fear of losing something rather than beholding and fearing the one true just King. And as we look at these verses, the questions we must ask ourselves are, who or what do we fear and who or what do we behold? Now, as we begin moving through chapter 19, remember, there's been a series of questioning between Jesus and the Jews and Jesus and Pilate and the Jews. So let's start with verses 1 through 3 of chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. We left chapter 18 with Pilate declaring that Jesus is innocent. And yet here in verse 1 of chapter 19, we see that Pilate has Jesus, who he says is innocent, flogged. Pilate is not a just governor. A just governor does not punish, let alone flog, innocent people. Now, this flogging in verse 1 is probably not the same type of flogging that Jesus would receive later when he's handed over to be crucified. That later flogging was an extremely severe and extremely brutal type of flogging where Jesus was beaten with an instrument with bone chips and metal in it that ripped his body apart. Yet this flogging in verse 1 was still painful, it was still wicked, and it was still unjust. Pilate is a coward who has Jesus flogged even though he is innocent. And why does Pilate have Jesus flogged even though he's innocent? He's trying to satisfy the Jews. He's hoping that this flogging of Jesus will satisfy them and then he can release Jesus. Pilate knows Jesus is not a threat to Roman rule regardless of what the Jewish religious leaders say. Yet Pilate, out of his fear of man, and his fear of losing something, did not do what he should have done, which would have been to act justly and to release Jesus. Pilate was lusting after something in his heart that he feared losing that led to his cowardly and unjust punishment of Christ. You see, whenever we are unjust in our treatment of other people, it's because we're lusting after something that we fear losing. Author John Steinbeck wrote, "Power does not corrupt. Fear corrupts, perhaps the fear of losing power." Of course, the fear of losing any number of things can corrupt. And I don't know if this author knew Jesus or not. Supposedly he was religious, but whether he was born again or not is up for debate. But he was on to something that is true about sinful, fallen human nature. You see, there is nothing evil or unjust about power or authority in and of itself. God has ordained and given certain roles of authority to the government, to the church, to husbands, to parents, to teachers, to employers, and so on. However, when a person in authority fears and lusts after something, that fear of losing something corrupts their authority. Now, Jesus was not only flogged in verse 1, but in verses 2 through 3, a crown of very long and very painful thorns is crammed into his head. They put a purple robe on him. They mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews." They hit him. And if this was not enough, Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us of other horrendous things they were doing to Jesus. Let's think about this. Jesus, the innocent one, is here suffering the cowardly, fearful, unjust, wicked treatment from those who are not innocent, but who are corrupt, guilty ones. Jesus, the King of the universe, the creator and sustainer of Pilate and the Jews, is not being worshipped for who he truly is. Not only the King of the Jews, but the King of the entire universe. And instead of being worshipped for who he is, he's being mocked by those whom he created. And why? Because these people fear losing whatever it is they're lusting after instead of fearing the one true King. Now, let us imagine what it will be like when King Jesus returns. The King of not only the Jews, but the creator, sustainer, and king of the universe. And when he returns, I can guarantee you he will not be the one being judged. When he returns, he will be the just judge of those who falsely judged, condemned, and punished him, and of everyone else who has ever lived. In John 19, Jesus gets a crown of thorns in a purple robe that comes with mocking and physical abuse. When Jesus returns, the scripture tells us on his head will be many crowns, and written on his robe will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that one day everyone, whether they want to or not, they will bow their knee to King Jesus and confess that he is Lord. I can assure you, on that day, there will be no flogging of Jesus. There will be no painful crowns crammed onto his head, and there will be no hitting of Christ when he returns. So in verses 1 through 3, innocent Jesus is unjustly and painfully flogged. He has a crown of thorns painfully piercing into his skull, and he's mocked and hit wearing a purple robe. And even though Pilate has Jesus punished as if he were guilty, in verses 4 and 5, Pilate once again declares that Jesus is innocent. Verses 4 and 5, Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Pilate failed in verses 1 through 3 to fear God and release Jesus. And he does the same thing here in verses 4 and 5. He tries again to pacify the Jews. And in doing so, most likely to also try and pacify his guilty conscience by twistedly thinking that his declaring Jesus is innocent would rid his guilt. Just like Pilate and just like the Jews, we all have that inner corrupt lawyer in our heart pleading our case that we are innocent when we are nothing but guilty. We all need to fire that lawyer. Oh, how we try in so many twisted ways to excuse our sin and to blame shift our sin instead of fearing God and doing what is just and right regardless of the consequences we might face. Instead of fearing God, we often fear man and or losing something. So Pilate tells the Jews again in verse 4 that Jesus is not guilty. Yet the one who is not guilty has been beaten and mocked and blood must be streaming down his face onto the purple robe from the crown of thorns piercing into his head. Verse 5 tells us that Pilate brought Jesus out wearing the robe and the crown of thorns. And Pilate said, get this, "Behold the man." Yes, the one who is the king of the Jews is a man, but he's not just a man. He is like no other man. Adam, the first man, plunged the entire world into sin and guilt, into ungodly fear of man, and ungodly fear of losing things. Because of Adam's sin, God cursed the ground, and therefore life would be filled with, as Genesis 3 tells us, our lives would be filled with thorns. God is just, and because God is just, he must punish sin. If God did not punish sin, he would not be just. Yet God is also gracious, and he's merciful. And in Genesis 3, we are told of one who would come to take away sin and take away the curse of sin. And here in John 19, we see the one who was promised in Genesis chapter 3. Jesus is the one who was to come. Jesus is the one who would do what Adam did not do. When Pilate said, "Behold the man," and Jesus was standing there with a crown of thorns on his head and wearing a purple robe, as sad and as unjust as it was, those of us in Christ cannot miss that Jesus is the last Adam. Jesus is the one who's not only man, but also God. Jesus is the one who lived the perfect life and therefore the only one who takes away the sin of the world. The crown of thorns should point us to the promised Messiah, the only one who can take away the curse. And the robe should point us to the one who is the just king of the universe. Whether people then or people today want to mock Jesus or not, it does not change who he is. And though he suffers in John 19 at the hands of sinful and fearful men, he is doing so willingly to save sinful and fearful people who will bow their knee to King Jesus, wanting him to be Lord of their life and trusting that he died on the cross for their sins and he was raised from the dead. When Pilate said, "Behold the man," all eyes, whether they knew it or not, were beholding not just the man, but the God-man. Jesus came the first time in his state of humiliation, but make no mistake about it, when he comes again, it will be in his state of exaltation, and every knee will bow before him. So how did the Jews respond to Pilate's words in verses 4 and 5? Let's look at verses 6 and 7. When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." In verses 6 through 7, we see the Jews and Pilate's continued fear of man and continued fear of losing something. The Jews' fear of Jesus led to their anger and hatred, and they're wanting Jesus to be murdered. They have absolutely no fear of God. And here we see Pilate for the third time in just 6 verses, once again say that Jesus is innocent, yet he doesn't release Jesus, but rather he unjustly excuses himself and tells the chief priest to take him away and crucify him. Pilate, like the Jewish religious leaders, has no fear of God. In verse 7, the Jews respond to Pilate with, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Well, the law they had was God's law. It was not their law, but they're acting like it was their law. According to God's law, only if someone declared to be the Messiah, declared to be the Son of God, and was not, should they be executed, for that would be blasphemy. Yet Jesus was telling the truth, and there's no law against telling the truth. As a matter of fact, we are commanded to tell the truth. And not only did Jesus tell the truth, Jesus is the truth. The Jewish religious leaders did not want the truth. They were liars, and they were living a lie. At the root of all lying is always some kind of fear. When we are tempted to lie, we should ask ourselves, what are we fearing? We should ask ourselves, what are we fearing so much that we would lie and thus speak the language of Satan, who is the father of lies? We need to fear God, trust God, rest in His amazing love, and obey Him by telling the truth. The Jewish religious leaders were not fearing God. They were loaded with fear of Jesus, and they were loaded with fear of losing something, whether that something was power or reputation or position or whatever it was. Their fear, along with their pride and unbelief and self-focus and idolatry, led to their envious, jealous, murderous hearts. Jesus, in declaring to be the Son of God, was clearly declaring to be God, and the Jews knew it, but they did not want the true God, and they did not fear the true God. God had set apart the Jews to be a light unto the Gentiles, which included Pilate, and yet the Jewish religious leaders here are nothing but wicked, murderous hypocrites. So we know what the Jews think about Jesus declaring to be the Son of God. But what does Pilate think about Jesus declaring to be the Son of God? Look at verses 8 through 11. When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it's been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." Verse 8 tells us that Pilate is even now more afraid because Jesus declares to be the Son of God. This Roman governor who rules Judea is himself ruled by fear. He fears something, fears losing something. He fears man, and he's afraid because Jesus declared himself to be the Son of God. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have the added details that Pilate's wife suffered in a dream because of Jesus. And she said that he's a righteous man and told Pilate to have nothing to do with him. Pilate is afraid, but it's not godly fear. His fear of man and fear of losing something pushes out any true fear of God. So what does Pilate do? In verse 9, he asks Jesus where he's from. Yet Jesus does not answer him. Jesus has already told Pilate, he told him in chapter 18, that he's a king, but his kingdom is not of this world. And Jesus, who is oppressed and afflicted here in John 19, he is the silent lamb of Isaiah chapter 53, on his way to the slaughter, to be slaughtered himself, as he willingly goes to the cross to die for the sins of the world. In verse 10, Pilate tries to throw his authority and his power around. He says to Jesus, "Do you not know I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Pilate is absolutely oblivious to the fact of who he's speaking with. He has no clue. Pilate is talking to the one who created him, who sustains him, and who's given him any authority that he has. Pilate, in his pride mixed with fear and unbelief and self-focus and idolatry, actually thinks he's in control of everything that's going on. Yet the one who controls every atom in the universe is standing right before him with a crown of thorns on his head and wearing a purple robe. The one who gave Pilate the very breath he is breathing as he speaks to Jesus is standing before him. Jesus says to Pilate in verse 11, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it was given to you from above." Jesus is clearly telling Pilate, "You are not sovereign. You are not in control, but rather God has given you any authority that you have." Anyone in any role of authority is to rule out of humble fear of God and dependence on God, not out of fear of man and not out of fear of losing something. At the end of verse 11, Jesus is telling Pilate that even his being handed over to Pilate was part of God's sovereign plan. Yes, those who handed Jesus over to Pilate are guilty of their sin. And yes, Pilate is guilty of his sin. Yet God is sovereign over all of this. And Jesus knows this, and that's why he's so calm. And that's why he does not fight back. One commentator writes, "Jesus is a humble king who rules through suffering." May we in our suffering, may we remember Jesus. May we be humble and may we trust God's good sovereignty. Now let us not quickly skip over what Jesus says at the end of verse 11 here. Jesus says that those who handed him over to Pilate are guilty of a greater sin. Pilate has sinned for sure, but his sin is not as great as that of Judas and Annas and Caiaphas and the rest of the Jewish religious leaders and the unbelieving wicked Jews. They had more knowledge about Jesus. They spent more time around Jesus than Pilate did. Verse 11 and other places in the Bible should correct a phrase that I'm sure you've heard before when people say, well, all sin is sin, as if all sin was equal in its degree of wickedness. Well, Jesus, who is God, says that is not true. Because God is a just God who judges justly, there are different degrees of sin, just like there are different degrees of reward in heaven and different degrees of punishment in hell. Yes, all sin deserves hell. Yes, all sin is against God's holy character. Yes, Jesus died for all sin. Yes, we should hate all sin, but not all sin is equal in its degree of wickedness. So let us be very careful with the phrase, all sin is sin. Now, much more could be said on that point, and actually there's a lot of other things in these verses today I would love to bring out and teach and provide application for. But I have to keep my reputation as being the shortest-winded preacher here at LifePoint. So let's move on to verses 12 through 15. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at the place called the Stone Pavement in an Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was a day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Verse 12 tells us that Pilate still wants to release Jesus. But his fear of man. But his fear of losing something. And this time the Jews, they pull out the trump card, okay? And they tell Pilate that if he releases Jesus, who claims to be a king, you're not a friend of Caesar, and you're going to face the consequences of Caesar. And Pilate, unfortunately, fears Caesar more than he fears God. So what did Pilate do? He brings Jesus out, He sits down on the judgment seat. He washes his hands and claims to be innocent in this matter, putting the blame solely on the Jews. Get this. The just judge of the universe is brought out by a corrupt, unjust, and sinful man to be unjustly judged. And on what day does this take place? Verse 14 tells us it's a day of preparation of the Passover. Genesis 3:15 is about to be fulfilled. The promise is coming to completion. Jesus is the promised Messiah. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Passover. He's the true door with blood painted all over him. Yet the religious leaders and Pilate are blind to the truth. And what did Pilate say to the Jews when he brought Jesus out to be judged? He said, "Behold your king." And what did the Jews say? They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And how did Pilate respond to this? "Shall I crucify your king?" And to this, the chief priests and the crowd said, "We have no king but Caesar." It should be no surprise to us that Pilate calls Jesus their king and says, "Behold your king, and shall I crucify your king?" Yet what depths of hypocrisy we see when the Jews said, "We have no king but Caesar." Finally, they admit the truth. God is not their king. They want to be king. They fear anyone who gets in the way of their being king. They fear anyone who gets in the way of whatever they fear losing and whatever they lust after. Their fear, unbelief, pride, self-focus, and idolatry comes to a head as they reject the one true king for Caesar. And so, Jesus is rejected by the very ones who have his word, who teach his word, and who say they love his word. And Jesus is rejected by Pilate, who delivers Jesus over to be crucified. We must ask ourselves, who or what do we fear, and who or what do we behold? Do we fear King Jesus, who is truly God and truly man, the one who willingly died on a cross and was raised from the dead? Have we bowed our knee in submission to him, trusting that his death on the cross is full payment for our sins, and his resurrection is our only hope of eternal life? Do we behold how truly great King Jesus is? Do we see his glory displayed in his attributes and his promises in the gospel? Or are we like the Jewish religious leaders, the other Jews in the crowd, and Pilate, who fear man and fear losing something so much that we will not bow the knee to King Jesus, who is the one true, just judge and king of the universe? I want to close with Psalm 33:18. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love." Let us pray. Oh, great God, thank you for King Jesus. Lord, help us to know your great love displayed in the gospel, that we might fear you and trust you and obey you, that we would not fear man, that we would not fear losing things, for who in heaven do we have but you? And what does earth have that we would want besides you? Father, help us to behold your glory. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.